10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WrestleMania Week here at 8 Sleep Suplex Retweet.
Hello and welcome to another special in WrestleMania Week. This week we are joined here to review what is going on later on tonight on NXT TakeOver New Orleans. I am your host today. I'm stepping out the EP chair. I'm Quackaraji. For once, I thought I'll host the show because NXT is my favorite brand in the current WWE brands. I am joined by, I would like to say, the dream team of wrestling podcasts. We're going to kick off with our supreme leader. Our main host is Stephen Wilson. How are you doing, Stephen?
Not bad. How's yourself?
Cannot complain. Moving on to another regular panelist. He is the mad scientist. I'm only saying that because I'm jealous as I'm a failed scientist. He is James Murphy. How you doing, James?
Not bad yourself, Quacky.
Cannot complain. Moving on now. He is the sultan of the What Would Strack Do movement. He is the table bashing Stephen Strachan. How you doing, Stephen?
Thank you for that intro. Doing quite well yourself.
Cannot complain. Moving on. She is the bath bomb princess, the luscious girl around. It is Sarah Grieve. How you doing, Sarah?
That was amazing. Thank you.
Nah, that's what I do.
That was like my first intro. I like that. I'm keeping that.
There you go. I want 10% of all future royalties.
I can swing that.
And moving on, fresh from a hot night DJing at a wedding that surprisingly didn't have an end like a WWE wedding. It is Ryan Gallagher. How you doing, Ryan?
Not bad. How are you guys? You all right?
We all good. Are we all good? Ready for NXT TakeOver?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Big time.
Good stuff. And as per usual, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're at Suplex Retweet. Give us a wee follow. Give us a wee like. Follow our stories, get involved, communicate with the panelists, let us know your thoughts on everything we talk about. So, shall we get down to the brass tacks and get straight on to talk about NXT TakeOver? Good stuff. Now, the first thing I would like to talk about, this is a kind of thing with NXT TakeOver. You always see a wrestler that's just signed on to NXT that appears on the front row of the crowd, to name a few, especially when Drew Galloway or McIntyre now appeared on the front crowd. Nobody was more surprised than What Culture when they saw it for champion. Yeah, like watching it, and then it's like, oh, there's our champion. We had no idea. So I would just like to ask all of you, I'm going to kick off with Stephen. Who would you like to see joining the NXT roster? Who would you like to see on the front row tomorrow?
See, there's lots of names I would like to see, but I know they're not going to happen. So you get the likes of Ospreay, Skrull, all those type of guys in Japan. But I could really think who they could probably get. The only name I could think of, and it's one based on the rumours I've seen this week, is James Storm.
Okay.
Ooh.
There's a lot of rumours he was backstage in Raw, and obviously he's got he's a free agent technically. So yeah. And he's been there before for a couple of appearances, so I think that's quite plausible that he'll be there.
Interesting one. Any thoughts of yourself, James, on this one?
Well, I mean, someone who has been in the second, someone could sign would be Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see his departing from ICW. I'd like to see Joe Coffey go over.
He is your friend after all. You did interview him.
Yes. Scary man. But no, lovely. Yeah. Built like a tank, you know. But like, nah, someone who's been on before. Zack Sabre Jr., I'd say, would be a bet that wouldn't be surprising to see.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that in King there. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of him. How about yourself, Strack? Anyone you'd like to see show up on NXT TakeOver?
See, for the NXT, I would like just one person. I'd actually like two. To make the tag division a bit better. No, that is good just now, but I'd love to see Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin.
Okay. It's an interesting one there.
They would be absolutely amazing.
Undisputed Era versus the Motorcycle Machine Guns.
So, you, there you go. He's already lined up opponents for them. There you go. That's why he is the Sultan of the What Was Tractor movement. And moving on, Sarah, who would you like to see yourself?
Well, there's a few. Obviously, you're thinking back to the Mae Young Classic, loads and loads of women. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Viper.
Amen.
And if not, probably the High Priestess that is Isla Dawn. Obviously, okay. She was featured on Raw. She did great on that show, and considering it was extremely last minute, mm-hmm. She did brilliant. I would love to see her.
Good stuff, good stuff. I'm loving the names. I'm getting some good names here. And also some names that I never, like, obviously that I know are good, but I never really thought of, if you know what I mean. How about yourself, Ryan? Who would you like to see?
Well, I said this one during the week in the group chat that we had, Kaylee Ray.
Yeah.
You know, tell me this. Have we ever had a girl turn up, a female turn up in the crowd at NXT? It tends to mostly be male superstars.
Did Asuka not do it?
I want to say Kairi Sane did.
Mm-hmm. Did they both do it? Yeah.
Candice LeRae. They're starting to do it more and more now.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. Like, it hasn't been done as much in the past, but it's starting to happen now.
Well,
last year, really.
Well, you've seen Kaylee getting used before.
With Nia Jax. Stuff.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. You know, could you imagine her having a run for the title NXT?
Exactly.
That would be exciting. I would watch that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can only hope that we see these names. Maybe we should speak to our regular panelists, David Hockney, to speak to the WWE board to get them on board.
David doesn't know who half these people are.
Okay, good point.
Let's be honest.
that's a good point, actually. Okay, we'll see if we can get another board member involved in that one. So now that we got that one out the road, some interesting names there. If you have any views, maybe reply to us at Suplex Retweet and let us know who you would like to see in the crowd. Okay, so we're now going to move, as I say, onto the brass tacks of TakeOver New Orleans. Now we're going to kick straight off with the Dusty Rhodes Classic. It's just been announced this week that it will be a triple threat between Undisputed Era, represented by Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly because of Bobby Fish's injury. They'll be facing off against the Offers of Pain, Akam and Rezar, and Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne. So, just want to kick off, first of all, talking about Undisputed Era's run and the lead up to the to this match. What have you thought of the run? I'm going to go backwards on this one, so I'm going to go to Ryan first of all.
Yep, definitely. So when Undisputed Era first came in, mm-hmm. initially I thought, great, what an entrance the two of them had. You know, you've seen Fish and O'Reilly to begin with, and you thought, great, superb. And then right at the very end, they appear again. Boom, there he is. Baby, right at the very end, smashes some faces, takes some prisoners, does what he does best, finishes the show. And ever since then, you know, everybody knows how well they've done since they came in. They've kicked on, they've won the titles. Adam Cole, and probably, you know, future NXT champion quite easily.
Aye.
They've smashed it since they came in my opinion.
Good sir. Like to throw open, anyone got any views on like anything they would like to highlight about Undisputed Era's run so far?
Their match in the War Games TakeOver.
There you go, War Games Klaxon right there. I'm going to say it every time because it was just such a good pay-per-view and match. Yep, carry on, James.
It was essentially just a showcase of like what a tag team division can culminate in.
Yeah,
it's definitely one of the most entertaining tag matches I've watched in a really long time. I mean, you've got how good New Day and the Usos are against each other, but this was three teams who just came together and made something absolutely explosive. So mm-hmm. I think a big impact to that is the idea that Undisputed Era were there to sort of disrupt the tag team division, not add to it.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole thing that you got from their push.
Yeah, like for me, like War Games was one of the first triple threat tag teams that I got genuinely so excited for since the likes of like TLC 1 and 2 and all that. The original mm-hmm. TLC match, so it's such a huge match. Anyone got anything they would like to add on to that?
Damo, Swally, and the Key, that was the best thing ever. I'm watching it. I'm like, ah, big man, well done.
I would say we weren't going to touch on that with obviously the ladder match. I would say Killian Dane did have such a great showing in that match. Just the table moment, and yes, swallowing the key as you do. So really, like, the next point I've got here down here is, obviously we got a tag team in the final that weren't really a tag team to begin with, and it's the team of Roderick Strong and WWE UK champion Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight. Just like to ask everyone, would you have put them two together in the first place?
No, I wouldn't have done it.
You know, it's one of those things, like, I like the odd couple pairing. It worked with Sheamus and Cesaro, and it's working for them.
Yeah.
It's good seeing Pete Dunne do the begrudging, raising their hands and clapping each other in the shoulder. It's nice to see that sort of thing, but I am disappointed we didn't get British Strong Style.
Well, Pete, yeah. That's the thing, like, Pete obviously took the spot away from his two mates. Like, thank you, I'll take that. It's like, it could have went like, well, I could tag with Trent, you know, with mates, but no, I'm going to train with this guy, Roderick Strong.
Do you know, guys, Pete Dunne should not be in a tag team.
No, 100%.
Nah.
100%. Nah.
Except for Strong Style, obviously.
The only reason that he's in this, and I'm quite happy for it, is that we see him more on NXT, but he should not be in a tag team. You see him coming out, he comes out, he's a one-man thing, and then you put him in a room with Roderick Strong, who's completely different from him, and it looks a bit strange to me.
I've never seen a man do so many backbreakers in my life.
Well, yes.
he could pull a backbreaker from anywhere.
Yeah. and that, I think you guys have already answered this question. This was going to be the next part of my question. Would you keep them together, or do you get them going in their separate ways now?
Separate ways.
I'd probably keep them separate.
I think they're going to win the belts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Hoffa's a player getting called up, and they're not going to keep it on Undisputed Era.
That was going to be my next point. So
it seems likely Authors of Pain get called up.
That's exactly the next question. So would you all think, like, given Authors of Pain and their run as tag team, they've already been champions, they've already won the Dusty Rhodes Classic, they're now chasing their second triumph in it. Do you think a spot on Raw or SmackDown is the next stop for them?
Could you imagine Monday night on Raw, AOP debut against Braun and Braun Strowman for the titles? Could you imagine that?
They could be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale.
True.
Yeah, but who would win as a duo?
Yeah, but then Mojo Rawley knocks them both out.
Nah, that won't be Mojo. That'll be what's his face, the NFL, Big Gronkowski.
Gronk, the Big Gronk,
or Shaq, one of the two.
Sure it is. So I think generally you're all kind of saying this is their last hurrah, so to speak, in NXT, and you're kind of saying the next stop for them is Raw or SmackDown. Am I right in thinking that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
The bad thing is, if they go, I mean, look at the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
If they go to Raw, they go to SmackDown, and they just get ruined, you're like, oh, it's just like the NXT.
That won't happen with AOP. AOP are miles ahead of the Ascension. The Ascension I was actually bored with in NXT.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They've got a good thing going, they've got a good gimmick going, but you've seen when they got to the main roster, it failed miserably. AOP, I reckon, two big guys smashing people about week in, week out, it's going to win.
Do you know what I've heard? And I'm like, this could be good if it is a true rumour.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Ascension, if Aleister Black's going to take the title, Ascension's going back to NXT to be with Aleister Black.
Horrible.
This idea, and I thought it could be good or it could be horrendous.
So kind of like SDS Legion Part 2 version 2.0 kind of thing.
I thought a Ministry of Darkness type thing.
I don't think that would be very good.
Just a rumor I seen ages ago, 2 weeks ago. I thought could be good or it could be horrendous.
I think
they're
long gone. I think they're done.
Yeah.
Aye. As soon as you put somebody away, Fandango, that's it. The fail.
Oh well, that's interesting. So now I'm gonna go to each and every one of you, and I'm gonna do this with every match we do. I'm gonna ask 2-part question: who you want to win, and who do you think will win? And I say that because I'm a big NXT fan at the moment, and it's hard for me to pick who I want to win. So it's more for me. So I'm gonna kick off with Stephen first of all. Who do you want to win, and who do you think will win?
I don't think Undisputed Era will be there as a team because of this, so I think Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne for both.
Okay. James?
Yeah, I'm actually on the same page for that one.
Okay. And Strack?
I want AOP to win.
Okay.
But they won't. They'll obviously lose it, so I think it'll probably go to Undisputed Era.
Interesting. And Sarah?
No, I completely agree as well. So I think it's going to go to Pete and Dunn, Pete and Roderick. But obviously, I love Undisputed Era. Obviously, like Adam Cole is my baby.
Adam Cole, baby.
He is my baby. and I would love it to stay with them because they have been doing great. But I don't see it. I think obviously they're loving Pete Dunn, so they're going to put another belt on him. And I don't see why not.
Okay, interesting. And you're Ryan.
Fine. Yeah, well, if you think about it, Authors of Pain. Are they going to give it to them for a second time, the Dusty Classic? I very much doubt it, especially with everything they're going to go up. Undisputed Era, they've got other things coming. Cole, we'll go on in this new second. I think he's got bigger things coming. So, Strong and Done. It's got to be.
Interesting there. For me, personally, I don't know. I think I would like to see Roderick and Pete Dunne win. I think it's more because Pete Dunne, UK thing and everything. Who I think will win, I think Undisputed Era will win. So that's I'm going for a UE retain on that one. So we're going to move on, and we're going to move on to the inaugural NXT North American Championship match. It features a ladder match, and it's between Adam Cole, EC3. I must say, EC3, do not think his Twitter handle looks like their Alec3.
Yeah.
Yeah, versus Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, and Velveteen Dream. So obviously, EC3 will have his first match returning to NXT, and this will be Ricochet's first match in NXT. Just looking to see what y'all think, what they would bring to NXT and to this match. I'm going to start off with Sarah this time around.
Well, see, I love Ricochet. Absolutely love him. I love that high flying, obviously, slash technical ability that he does have.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I think we've lost quite a few of the high flyers from NXT in recent months. So that's what I've been loving to see, is just obviously bringing back that high flying style.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. I'll move on to Strack.
to win it, I would. Probably, are you asking that question yet?
No, just what you think EC3 and Ricochet will bring as like re-debuting or debuting in NXT.
Well, EC3 is a lot more polished and a lot more upgraded because the last time he was in NXT, he was Derek Bateman.
Yeah.
And he looked horrendous. It just didn't look, right.
No.
But he's now a lot more polished, a lot better look. I've seen him in TNA, a lot better wrestler. Ricochet, I've watched him quite a bit in Lucha Underground, and he is really impressive. So it's kind of there's nothing really they can't make it any what they can't make it bad, put it that way.
Yeah,
there's nothing they can do wrong.
And it does, like when they showed up. Well, EC3 showed up last week to do a promo with Ollie Regal, and Ricochet showed up this week at the end of NXT. When all six had a face-off, it was incredible just the reaction to them and their names being chanted, and it was just such a great moment. Going to move on to you, James. What were your thoughts on the two of them starting out this week?
EC3 brings that corporation style, arrogant smugness that they lost when Bobby Roode went up to the main roster.
Okay, yeah.
Not comparing them in a bad way, just saying, you know, that is exactly what he brings, especially his debut did show that's exactly what he was going for.
Mm-hmm.
For Ricochet, I've seen the man pull off some incredible stuff. He does there's a clip of him doing a drop kick, a delayed drop kick, where he jumps in the middle of the ring and he actually just sort of floats through the air, hits the guy, picks up, and does an effortless moonsault. he's kind of a high flyer that you've not seen since Neville. You know, if Neville's the man that Gravity forgot, then Ricochet's the guy you never met. You know, like it's mm-hmm. it's some crazy stuff that he can pull out. So yeah, he'll bring something that they're actually missing just now.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. How about yours, for Stephen? What do you kind of feel about this?
Well, one thing about EC3 is he survived the Fandango curse that Ryan mentioned from his previous time in NXT.
Nobody survives that.
No, EC3 is incredible as a heel, and I think he brings so much to the NXT. He's so much more polished in the ring. He's just so good on the mic. I'm disappointed he never got his TNA theme tune. I would love to have seen him bring that. Mega. Ricochet, phenomenal, even though he lost to Lewis Garvin.
But yeah, incredible match there.
Oh, though. Yeah, brilliant. But no, I think
that spot springboard
so
into the crowd, brilliant.
Loved it.
There you go, folks.
But no, I think they add a good bit of star power to the match, absolutely.
And how about you, Ryan? What are your kind of thoughts?
ECC, I'm not overly fussed about, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
From watching him in TNA, I think it's one of these characters that's an over-the-top, I'm the best character in the whole wide world type thing, which doesn't usually follow much substance. I'm quite happy to be proven wrong on that.
Mm-hmm.
Ricochet, everybody knows Ricochet, the point to be made so far about him being high-flying, NXT is lacking that just now. That'll be good. The only fear I've got for Ricochet is that when they eventually punt him up, he goes to 205 Live and disappears like the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the only fear I've got for him actually coming to WWE.
Yeah,
I can see it being more of a hindrance long term than a positive.
There is that fear in my mind. Like, I'll be honest, I've not seen EC3 in TNA. Like, I've not watched TNA myself personally, but I will say this, for somebody that I've never seen before, I'm actually really excited as to what he can bring. I don't know if it's maybe just the personality carried and just the way the crowd went nuts for him when he kind of did that whole thing off appearing at TakeOver crowd. I did like that, so I'm really glued to what is going to happen with him. Ricochet is Ricochet. I don't need to say anything on that. He's just incredible.
Was CCT not related to Dixie Carter for a while?
Yeah, that's Carter the third. Yeah, it stands for Carter the C.
Can we forget that? Yeah, is that?
Well, they have. Right?
Good.
Until they're just there.
she's rumoured to be one of the candidates for the U SmackDown GM.
Oh, please don't.
There you go. Now, all to come up on the Roundup show, the next show after this one, so keep glued and stay listening to Suplex Retweet. Now, on to the next one. I'm going to throw this open for everyone to just kind of chip in. Let's talk about Killy Day, or as we like to love and know him as, Big Damo. Is it his time now? After such a great showing at the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania 33, and also his great showing at War Games and swallowing that key, is it now his time? And I'll throw this open to everyone.
I think that they're going to do that thing where him and Lars Sullivan take each other out of the match because they're both so big, mm-hmm. and that'll be it. They'll like crash into each other like it'll let one of the smaller guys climb that ladder, I think, is definitely what they're going for.
Yeah.
I think if Killian Dane is ready to go up, which I think he is, probably ready to go up to the main card, do you take him out of Santi or do you put Santi up?
No, I think Santi will go up.
Yeah,
I think we'll see them on Monday or Tuesday.
Sanity is one of the most popular factions out there in wrestling terms, so I think they've got to keep them together, really.
No. I was going to say Sanity, I think, have to move as a unit, especially if you're going to keep the sort of opposing force that they have along with Killian Dane.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I'm a big fan of what he's doing at the moment. I personally think it's his time to do it. And speaking of this big destructive forces, we did bring him up briefly. Lars Sullivan, he is just back from injury. What would you expect from Lars? Is this maybe more of an opportunity for him to build up a rivalry, to build up a run after his injury? What do you all think?
I'm not crazy about Lars Sullivan.
Okay. I would agree.
I think we're all waiting for one person to say it.
The only good thing he's got going for him is obviously his size and his theme tune, which is quite good.
Oh, but I don't know. The way he does his entrance with the light, I love that. Yeah, sorry, James.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I'm going for. Like, he's got a good production, but as for him himself, I don't know. He's got. I'd like him to shave the beard. That would help. But you know, he doesn't offer anything that Kelly and Dane doesn't, but Kelly and Dane's doing it better.
Okay.
So I'd expect Kelly and Dane if they were to go together like that.
Okay. Good stuff. All great stuff there. And moving on slightly, we've got the Velveteen Dream. He has a heel with a huge buy-in from the fans, and he had a great 17, obviously picking up the award for best rivalry with Aleister Black. What do we expect from the Velveteen Dream?
Would you class the Dream as a heel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you? Because I see him as one of these guys that just kind of floats in between, who touches on heel, but you can't help but like him. A bit like Lesnar, not obviously size-wise, because he's nothing compared to Lesnar. But you know that way Lesnar's meant to be the heel character, but nobody actually hates Lesnar, really. Mm. I see him kind of floating in about there.
See, like, when he had this rivalry with Aleister Black, he did things like tie up Aleister in the ropes, which is a very much a heel thing to do, and just repeatedly slap him and say my name kind of thing, which in itself sounds weird, but in context it was actually quite good.
But I loved that.
It was great. But I think he does do heel tactics, but it's just because it's such a weird character and people have bought into it that people like it.
He is brilliant. He's for his age, especially, and the fact he came through tough enough.
Oh yeah.
I think it's credit to how much work he's put in.
It's also the fact that, like, see, you saw him as Patrick Clark before, and just the way that he's actually reinvented himself in the best possible way. It's the best thing he could have ever done, and I honestly see him as the complete dark horse for this. He might actually run away with us.
Oh really?
Well, I was going to say that myself. I actually can see, you know, you look at WrestleMania 32, who won the ladder match. Exactly that type thing. They tend to go with a guy who's a bit of an outsider. You look at everybody there; they've all got viable cases except from Dream. So why would he not win it?
Totally agree with you. I think Dream all the way.
See, because I was thinking maybe because of the fact I've not seen EC3 before wrestle. I've just seen from what's happened in NXT. I was kind of thinking this was the opportunity for him to build a rivalry with EC3. You've got two kind of showmen going at it. Or am I wrong to think that?
No, not really.
I mean, that doesn't mean that the title can't be involved, though.
Exactly. But I was seeing that more, the EC3 angle is more the premise of this fight for them two being in it. I don't know, maybe I'm just trying to size all six of them up and just kind of see who can build a rivalry on the back of this.
I was just thinking that obviously, you know, with EC3 at the moment, he is in the 1%. Obviously, Velveteen Dream is going to probably do something to sort of hurt his pride, and he's going to just snap and come after him, and just obviously on that, because it's just like, wait a minute, no, you don't do that to me, and off he goes.
I'd love to see that.
I think the thing you're looking for, Kwaku, is to see, like, unlike creative, you're trying to see what's going to happen after this, because a lot of guys who have done interviews said, oh, I had this massive rivalry, I had this massive match, and then went to creative and says, right, well, what am I doing now? And they went, we've got nothing.
Oh, really?
It happened to CM Punk with Undertaker. He says, right, what did I do after this? And we went,
you can leave.
Ryback? He's like, aye, Ryback, that sounds like a fun plan.
And interesting points there. Moving. I'm loving this.
I love Ryback. I know.
We could go on forever. I need to bring up, obviously, Cena's baby, Adam Cole. He has potentially fighting two matches. I mean, we don't know. They may pull an Undisputed Era style trickery. I don't know. But for the moment, we've just got to assume that he's fighting twice. Adam Cole, what do you fancy his chances in this?
I think he's an obvious option for it. But I think it's also far too obvious.
Yeah.
Adam Cole will win it.
Yeah, totally.
especially if they've not got Bobby Fish. Cut him out, sorry to jump in there. If they don't get Fish there for a while, he's going to be the undisputed era.
Yeah, so he's not going to be involved heavily in that match, I don't think.
Definitely not.
Food and interested. Will we see Sanity get involved in this at all, do you think?
I hope Nikki Cross just comes in and just, you know, beats the living daylights out of half of them.
she beats somebody when they're on the ladder.
Exactly.
That's a point.
It does seem strange that Sanity are not really on the card.
I know.
And they're such a, I don't know, almost like a faction that you'd think something's going to happen. Nikki Cross has been gone for too long. Obviously, we've seen Wolf and Young, but I reckon we could see them. They'll probably take Adam Cole out of the match. That'll stop him.
Interesting their point. Okay, I'm going to move it on, and I'm going to push you for who you want to win and who you think will win. This time, I am going to start off with Strack.
Who I want to win? And my big mate Damo. I've knew Damo for years. He's the nicest big guy you'll ever meet. I would like him to win it because it would kind of give him a bit of a platform that he's not just part of Sanity. It could be a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
Probably will win it. It'll be EC3.
EC3. And how about you, Sarah?
Well, I agree. I would love Killian Dane to win. Obviously, see when he got punted out of the tag team title match in favour of Eric, that's when you thought that he was going to go for that singles run.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki was obviously going to try and take the women's one. So I would love him to win, but I honestly, my heart is, I actually think the Velveteen Dream is going to run away with us. Oh, that's my pick.
Interesting. And how about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm with Sarah. Dream to win, but I would love Killian Dane to win. The only downside I would pick to Dane winning was that it would keep my NXT that bit longer, and I want to see him go up on a Monday or Tuesday.
Interesting there.
With Sanity, so I wouldn't like to see him win for that reason, but if they
you would selfishly want him to lose for that sake, if you know what I mean.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. You do love him though, really.
don't tell him that, he'll smash me.
How about you, Stephen?
Dream for me on both of them. I think he'd be brilliant.
Stephen's dreaming tonight. And how about you, James?
I'd like to see either Damo or Dream win, but I think EC3 is going to get the title to give it that bit of sort of, you know, almost corporate kind of like legitimacy where he holds it and he's like, yeah, I'm proud, I've got the belt. If you put it on Dream, he'll probably treat it with a bit of disdain. If you put it on Big Damo, he'll be like, it's just a belt.
It's interesting. Yeah. I don't know if none of you said Adam Cole.
Nah.
I think too obvious.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, now who I want to win, I would love Killian Dane, Big Damo to win, but who I think will win is Adam Cole. Yeah, I'm going for the obvious one.
That is an obvious choice.
Yeah.
I'm going for the favourite. That's always the rule in the horses, bet on the favourite.
Do you know, I would have actually agreed with you on Adam Cole if Bobby Fish was still kicking him out.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure Undisputed Era will find a trick up their sleeve somehow. You know, the way they are. They will.
Sure.
So, moving on. And it comes to the point where I get to say it's between Andrade Cien Almas and Aleister Black. Obviously, Almas is flanked with his business associate or advisor, Zelina Vega. What have you guys thought of the lead up to the match? And I'll throw this open to everyone, really.
It's been amazing. I've absolutely loved every part of it, especially unexpectedly, Almas getting the upper hand almost every time.
Mm-hmm.
But which does lead me to believe that he's going to win. I think everyone seems to think that Aleister Black's going to win. I kind of think that Andrade Cien Almas is going to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of seems what's going to happen, but this is a match where it is 50-50 completely.
The only thing I keep thinking back to is, does anybody remember the match was Aleister Black against Almas before the titles, and Aleister Black pretty much squashed them?
Oh yeah.
True.
I keep thinking back to that and going, why does anybody remember this? It was like three kicks and then a fade to black, and that was it done.
Look at Jinder. Jinder's made a career out of it. Like,
he squashed by Finn Balor and then got a table shot.
I am so glad that David's not on this pod.
I know, David's not on the pod. Let's have a day where we actually speak highly on Jinder, please.
Nah.
Okay, just don't rant for 10 minutes about it, as we only have half an hour, but I'm sure I'm going over that anyway. Anyone else got anything to chip in on the lead up to the match?
I think with Aleister Black, you know, his whole character he's got just now with being not very talkative, but he'll say the odd thing and mean it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that they build him up to be this kind of dark character, and they never really stray from it.
Mm-hmm. One line he did say that I loved was during the contract signing with Zelina Vega. He got down and crossed his legs and said,
"Oh my God,
get down to your level."
Yes.
I love that. Brilliant. Absolutely great. And obviously with the contract signing, it did lead to Candice LeRae coming out and obviously chasing Zelina Vega, like she's been doing since TakeOver back when Almas and Gargano had a match. Would we see Candice LeRae play a part in eliminating Vega? Will we see Vega play a part in the match? What do you all think? I'll just throw this open.
It's hard for Candice LeRae because obviously the Gargano matches later on, she might get involved in that. So if that match wasn't there, definitely, but I'm not sure because of that Gargano-Ciampa match.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like Sarah, you're obviously bigly invested in the whole Gargano-Ciampa. Do you think that Candice LeRae will play any part?
No, I mean, obviously you might see just like a wee cheeky appearance, but she won't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you'll see Zelina doing a wee cheeky head scissors when the referee's back is turned.
Yeah.
But I don't think Candice will actually touch her this time. She might obviously just like come and mock her or something, but I don't think she'll do anything too heavy because obviously she will be around for Johnny's match.
Yeah. And
I think it takes away the surprise factor if you have her turn up in that match and then turn up later on.
Mm-hmm.
They can't act surprised by her turning up for any other reason if you've got her in two matches beforehand or whatever that is.
I don't see Candice LeRae turning up in the Blaster Black match. I think maybe she'll try and do Vega will try and do something to Blaster Black and he'll do something like handcuff her at a ring post or
because
she is so little, I mean, you could put her in a Tesco bag. Just hang it to the ring post. That's her stop.
Back for life or a 5p one.
New Orleans Tesco.
You go and she's engaged to Austin Aries, and you go, that's a little couple. If they get married, they can storm on top of the cake.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Oh, no.
Getting children suits.
Ryan, are you going to DJ that wedding then?
Mate, listen, if they give me a shout, that'll be fine. I'll turn up for that.
Oh, yeah, just a cheap plug. Ryan Gallagher is available for wedding DJing.
Whenever you want.
He can't guarantee they won't end like a WWE style wedding, but he'll do his best.
I can try, yes.
Okay, so on that note, like, I have loved the build up to it. I did like last week's NXT with Almas beating up Alistair backstage, even using the water cooler to try and drown him for like 5 seconds. Such a heel tactic now. It's something that our regular panelist Ross McLeod would have been proud of, who's asked for different weapons in a hardcore match. So,
the gun,
yeah. I don't want to say why, but there you go. So I'm just going to ask everyone, who do you think will win? Who do you want to win? This time I'm going to start off with James.
I would like to see Aleister Black win, as I think it'd be good for him to get the recognition for being such a solid performer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it seems more likely he'll get called up and Andrade Cien Almas is going to keep the title because it doesn't seem likely that they're going to move him up yet, especially with the language barrier needing Zelina Vega as his manager.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you're saying that because obviously he won 3 NXT awards last year and that's kind of been the basis of Almas' heat towards Aleister Black, the fact that Almas didn't win anything. but Black came away with three awards, including Male Superstar of the Year. So, interesting.
Yeah. He's kind of already peaked, in my opinion, in NXT.
You think so already, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting, that one. And I'm going to come to you now, Stephen. Who do you want to win? Who do you think will win?
Again, I'm going to go with a double on them. I think Black for both, as I think he is due a feud with EC3.
Oh,
I think that's going to be in the future. EC3 is going to go right up there and take the 1% straight to the title.
Stats is not with David thing, but well done on that one.
Thank you.
And Strack.
I think Aleister Black for the win, and hopefully he will actually win it, because Almas, they kind of need somebody for the US title picture, because they did put Orton in there just to kind of beef it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's certain guys like Aleister Black doesn't need to go to the main roster right now, because there's no really anywhere for him to fit to make him suitable.
Yeah.
So keep him in NXT just now, hold him back a bit. But Almas, you could put him in either Intercontinental or the US title picture as a mid-card to know, and then build him for there.
Interesting one there. And Sarah?
No, I completely agree. So I want Aleister to win, and I think he will win, because even though he's ready for that call-up, there's nowhere to actually put him just now. Obviously, unless you just sort of have him randomly popping up and scaring people. And obviously, I would be freaked out if he appeared in the ring in front of me. I'd be like, yeah, I'm not having this, so off I go. And it's to get that recognition. Obviously, I do agree, you can put Andrade into the mid-card picture and it would be just fine. It would seem fitting, and it would seem, obviously, that's believable.
I remember he was featured in the Royal Rumble this year and did get that huge pop.
I did love that.
Him and Adam Cole, baby. Were the two NXTers that did show up, and he did get a massive pop. So it is a sign that main roster is ready for him. In fact, they're ready for both, really. I'm coming to you, Ryan, finally.
Can I be honest with you? I have no opinion on either that I'm 100% convinced about. I have conflicting interests in both of them. I think Aleister Black, I think he probably will win it. Because I don't see them giving away that undefeated streak that he's got going at such a big stage. At the same time, I do think what we've said before, he is ready to go up. But then you counteract that and you think, Almas, is he ready to go up? Probably. So who's the next guy to push? If either of them lose, what do they do in NXT for the rest for the next few months?
Obviously I forgot that Aleister Black is undefeated in singles competition on 101. So yeah, that maybe that could be something that they're going to play on. So it's well brought up there, Ryan. I'll be honest, folks, I am so on the fence on this one, and it's purely because I like them both. I have no clue. I hate being on the fence, but I just can't pick between them, and I think that's why I'm so excited for this match. It's because I just can't pick them. I really can't. And that's from both questions. There you go, eh? I'm going to take myself off the fence and move on to the next match. Because the next match is the NXT Women's Championship match. It's between Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler. They have obviously had a fight. They have obviously met each other at the previous takeover in Philadelphia just before the Royal Rumble. Just want to talk and open up the discussion first of all. What have you all thought of Baszler's destruction run in NXT so far?
I personally think she should continue that sort of conquest. I'm jumping the gun a bit here, but like this is a no contest for me. I think Baszler definitely has to come away with this with the belt. I think she has shown the kind of ferocity that we only really got from Nikki Cross. And Ember Moon's too nice, really. Especially such a gritty brand like NXT.
Interesting. Anyone else got any views on her run so far?
Anybody else completely bored by both of them?
Yes, yes.
Kind of a bit, yeah. I didn't want to say it.
I thought somebody's got to say it, and I would. I'm bored by both of them.
It makes Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax feud look like the headline for WrestleMania.
I don't like Ember Moon's run because she's yet to really, in my opinion, give a convincing promo. She had a good matches, but she's yet to show any like real personality. Shayna Baszler is obviously quite like green, but it'd be good if she didn't have such a terrible catchphrase, which is what, tap, nap, or snap? Which is terrible. Absolutely terrible. I hate it.
That was going to be the next question. So it could be like a two-parter because you raised it like that, James. Like, my next part of the question was, has Ember Moon had a good run of the title since winning that at War Games?
She's been injured for about 60% yet.
Yeah, it's been terrible. It's so bad. The feud is just so... It's just nothing to it. I don't think it's been well done at all. It's a rare miss from NXT.
Interesting one there. So that's a thing. Like, I'm going to ask now who... I'm going to move swiftly on from this one because it seems we don't have much of a buy-in unless somebody wants to raise something. Nope.
Double DQ.
Double DQ. Yep. So, Ryan, who do you want to win and who do you think will win?
I think Baszler's going to win it. And I would probably say that I want her to win it as well because I think they need to do something different with Ember Moon because she doesn't really feel like a champion just now.
Okay.
She just seems like somebody who's floating about with a belt on her but not really doing much.
How about you, Sarah?
No, I completely agree. I mean, like, there's been some times that I've been thinking, yeah, Ember Moon, competitor-wise, is ready to move to the likes of SmackDown and join the women's division there. Like, I would love to see her in a match with Becky Lynch.
Interesting.
But I honestly... I am completely bored with this. I don't usually get bored when it comes to the women's matches. I'm all for the women's matches, but I'm so bored. It's like I actually fast forward through NXT when it's those segments. I'm like, I couldn't care less about this.
Wow. Can I wait for an NXT podcast?
It's only that one part. It's fine.
I hope Uncle Paul is listening to this.
Well, it can maybe take something away from this.
Strack, how about you?
Who I think will win will be Ember Moon. Who I want to win, Kairi Sane.
I like that one there.
The only entertaining female wrestler on NXT right now, to me, in my opinion, she's the only entertaining one. Well, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay is quite good.
They're good.
Nikki Cross.
Nikki's good. Nikki is good, but they've not really done much with her lately.
And they should.
Yeah, that's exactly that. I'm upset that she's not in the picture, really.
Yeah.
She should be a champion by now or called up. But they seem to have just forgot about her.
Since War Games, they've kind of forgotten about Nikki Cross, so I would say.
It's like, we'll give you this title match to two of the most boring women on the roster. It's like,
I'm going to move on to you now, James.
I would like Shayna Baszler to win. It seems unlikely she will, but... Nah, with the UFC stuff, Ronda Rousey, Brock Lesnar, I want her to win and I think she will win. I've changed my mind. I think she's going to win.
Interesting there. And Stephen?
I think Shayna will win, but I want a Carmella cash-in.
It didn't say any brand.
If that punts her back to NXT, I'm all for that as well.
For days. On this one... Okay, selfishly, because I'm actually personally a big Ember Moon fan. I do like her story behind like trying to get onto NXT and stuff like that. I do think she is a great wrestler. She hasn't had the best championship run, which is disappointing. So I would want Baszler to win, and I think she will win. And it's purely selfishly because I want Ember to move on to SmackDown. There we go. I said it there. So... Now we move onto the match, some may say. This is the point where you look up your tissues because this is where it gets upsetting.
Yes.
We talk about Johnny Gargano versus Saint Tommaso Ciampa in an unsanctioned match. Get yourselves together.
Can I be honest here? I have never been more excited for a match.
I'm glad. I thought you were going to say something.
I know.
No.
No. You're there.
It's going to be off the chain. It's going to be so good.
Now, obviously, the stipulation in this unsanctioned match is that Gargano doesn't have an NXT contract at the moment. If he wins, he will be reinstated into NXT. But if Ciampa wins, Gargano will be banned from NXT, banished, good, sayonara. Sierra threw in a bit of Italian in there. I don't know if it's Italian, but there you go. I think it is. Obviously, it all started off at the betrayal at TakeOver Chicago. Sarah, I'm coming to you first.
It's because you know I cried at that.
it's to give you time to recover after it.
Oh, Donny, I went to tweet him. I was like, I'm going to cry myself to sleep, so thanks.
Obviously, DIY just came up short against the AOP. They walk up the ramp, they have the watermark, and then bang. Talk me through it.
Donny, it was the most heartbreaking
reenacted
thing ever.
Dramatization.
This is actually really painful to even think back to.
Folks, I am available for group therapy session after this.
You're not very good, just sitting laugh again.
You gotta bring people down before you bring them back up, that's the method.
I'm gonna sit and cry in the corner now, thanks.
Oh no. So it still hurts,
obviously. Best friends, been through everything together, and then he just slams him into the LED board, and you're like, no, why would you do that? So he's your best buddy, he took a ladder in the face for you.
And that moment, like, when I saw a promo of that just yesterday, and that promo, it actually hurt me a bit just to see that.
Just
the look in the face, to take a shot to the face for your pal, and then he just went, oh no, I'm sacking this, I'm leaving, I'm gone. And then that watermark moment. To the rest of you guys, what were your thoughts during that moment, that iconic moment?
I didn't see it coming, but it was very surprising, especially for him to brutalize him the way he did when it was obvious he was quite hurt. Yeah, it's one of these feuds that, like, I don't know, it's almost as if, you know, remember that fan who cries and he's like, it's still real to me, damn it. Like, definitely evoking the same sort of feelings in most of, like, the fans. And I think it deserves last place on the card, as I assume it will get.
Yeah.
Definitely the main event. And I've not been excited for a match since War Games. You know.
Exactly.
Not even that long ago, but, you know.
I think it will be last because there's an iconic moment coming in the way of who wins or loses. There's going to be an iconic moment, whether it's Gargano getting hugged by LeRae or Ciampa doing the whole waving with the crutch thing. That's the thing.
Ciampa's news on Twitter has been amazing.
I know.
It's so good.
Is it just me that's seen this coming?
Yeah, they planted the seeds in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Because you've seen a couple of times after matches where Ciampa was almost reluctant to kind of hug him, then they hugged him, and you're like, ah, they're fine. But if you think back to it, it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But not after the watermark.
The watermark is that's it. It's over. Like, you can now go to the toilet that you've been holding in for the past 15 minutes. That's it over.
It's like you can finally breathe.
Mm-hmm. There should be a watermark for the watermark, just to let you know it's definitely finished.
I'm just glad Booker T wasn't there to trip anybody up.
So, like, that's the thing. Like, obviously, from that, Ciampa did have an injury, but it didn't stop the whole thing brewing up. You obviously have Ciampa costing Gargano his attempts at the NXT Championship. To win and gain the championship, and also costing him in his contract in NXT as well. So, two big things that he's taken away from Gargano. Is there more the Sicily Nightmare can take from Gargano?
He's already ruined his wedding pictures.
That is true.
The thing I love about those wedding pictures that have been released is almost identical to the crotch picture with him waving. It just needs somebody to Photoshop the crotch onto the wedding photo, and that's it complete.
Well, there you go. That's your next job, Paco.
I'll get it done. and I shall tweet it at Twitch retweets, so keep an eye out for that one. I just want to see, has anyone got anything else they would like to add to this? Like something that they loved from the build up to this?
The crowd was chanting things, words that I can't really say at Champa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never seen one man get so much hate for quite a while.
Yeah.
You've not been watching Raw recently.
It's brilliant. Two words, Roman Reigns.
How dare you talk bad about Goldust like that?
He has been getting that nuclear heat recently, Champa, especially with the ripping off of the fans' posters with the emoji of Gargano and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just been brilliant. Let's be honest, it's been brilliant, hasn't it?
It has.
Did you see Gargano's tweet? It was like sign $2, the NXT ticket $25.
Yes.
Punching Tampa in the face,
priceless. There you go. So there you go. Even the babyface is starting to tweet about like a heel and the fact that he's rebelling against them. That's the thing I'm loving about this whole thing. It's brilliant. One thing I can guarantee is going to be an amazing match.
It'll be the match of the night.
100%.
Definitely. Well, on that note, I'm going to move on to probably the hardest time I'm going to answer this question. And I'm going to be mean and I'm going to start off with you, Sarah.
Why?
Who do you want to win? Who do you think will win?
To be honest, I want Johnny to move up to the main roster. I really do. So obviously, as much as I would want him to win, mm-hmm, I think Ciampa is going to take this away or probably smack him in the face with a crutch. Smack him in the face with a ladder.
Anybody else think Sarah's sitting there in tears right now?
I'm trying to hide it as best I can.
It still hurts.
Like an old photo DIY to go together. Just hug it out.
I need a hug right now, I really do.
Virtual hug over to you, Sarah. And to anybody else that's listening and it feels the same way that Sarah is right now. Quacko Address counselling session is officially open as of now. Find me at Mr. Quacko Adji if you can spell my name. Ryan, I'm going to move on to you.
Does anybody see anything other than Ciampa winning this match?
No.
Because it would just completely ruin the full thing if Gargano won it, got reinstated, and then they just went separate ways on NXT together.
I like how you're all trying to take yourself out of denial in this situation.
Actually, I've got a wee thing. Do you know what would be good? Right. If Gargano won and Ciampa was like, well, you know what? He's got his job back, but I can no longer be around that disgrace, whatever. He leaves and he moves up.
Ooh.
So he's essentially taking his ball and taking his curveball and going home.
See, as we found out, I've been forgetting to ask him, as we found out this week, our resident mad scientist, James Murphy, is also the king of heel turns. Do you see a heel turn in this match?
What about
turns are done here?
You've actually not mentioned a heel turn this entire time.
I know.
Well,
you said there'd be heel turns?
You could see Pete Dunne. You could see, I don't know, Pete Dunne, not a heel turn, but you could see him battering Roderick Strong, it's quite a clear-cut heel versus face dynamic for this NXT.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of opportunities for turns, as opposed to Mania.
Strack, you had something you were going to say there?
Well, you're saying about heel turns, what if Gargano wins, Ciampa goes to shake his hand to kind of bury the hatchet, and Gargano turns heel?
Why you gotta break my heart?
But how funny would that be?
It would be, no.
Johnny
Gargano then hits him with a crutch, and then Johnny Gargano starts waving with the crutch.
Smack him in the face with a ladder.
Can I just say, see if I see a heel turn, I think it's gonna be Candice LeRae helping out Ciampa.
Oh no. No.
Can I say that?
Oh, we're going all WWE affairs.
I will say that, and I will leave it out there. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I think if there's going to be a heel turn, that's going to be it.
Interesting. I like that.
Yeah. Even though it hurts, you're warming up to it.
It reminds me of Trish and Christian, so...
Just go back a little bit.
Trish, Christian, Jericho, aye.
Can we see anybody interfering in the other match? Anybody that's not in it, but a new face? Just saying.
I don't know.
Maybe one of our predicted indie wrestlers coming up to NXT could get involved. Who knows?
Joe Coffey just comes in, batters everyone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sean Callahan and a baseball bat. People with chairs on their face and then just smash them.
Forget about that. The Undertaker shows up and John Cena's like,
"You're too early, mate."
That could be one. That's fine. It could go in, so that's fine.
Yes.
I'm in charge. I make the rules.
I'm chairing the debate, so I'll go with it for now, so don't you worry about that. So, that was quite interesting sharing that today.
I love how you were given half an hour and we've been on for an hour.
I know.
Worth it!
Such is life. By the way, I'm sure you've all had enough from me, and I'd like to thank you all for listening in. Make sure you keep yourself followed on Suplex Retweet. This is the penultimate show in a WrestleMania week. So at the moment, we've just turned off the motorway and we're heading to the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, also known as the Silver Dome. The Silver Dome will live on. I have been your host, Kwaku Aji. A huge thank you to my panelists, Ryan Galker.
Welcome.
Sarah Grieve.
Thank you.
Strat.
Good night.
James Murphy.
Thanks very much.
Stephen Wilson.
Sorry for swearing, thank you.
It's my podcast.
I'll do what I want.
I don't use that line very often.
Well, we will soon, don't you worry. As I say, I've been Quackaraji. Thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a great WrestleMania weekend. We'll see you on Monday when we talk about, hopefully all of us will be awake, but some of us that will be awake because it'll be 5 a.m. by the time WrestleMania finishes over in Glasgow. Hopefully we'll be all awake. We will be reviewing what happened throughout the weekend. Raw and SmackDown after WrestleMania is always the big event. Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes if you're on an iPhone, or on Anchor FM or other podcasting sites if you use Android. Anyway, that's about enough from me. Thank you to my panelists. Thank you all. Keep safe and good night.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.